All right, we are plugged in, ready to rumble. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. And these podcasts now will be going into the members section of the Kraz Files, so please enjoy. And lots to go through, as usual, on the website. I'm plugging in again with Tony Sayers. How are you going, Tony?
I'm doing very well, Adam. Thanks again for having me on your show. Always love talking to you, hearing what's going on down under, the craziness.
I know. Well, you're a guy I like to talk to, and that the proof in that is that we've probably just been talking for nearly half an hour before the bloody show.
It's always a good sign.
It is, so I thought I better record, otherwise I won't have a podcast to put in.
Well, we're pretty much isolated, us kind of people, aren't we? So we might as well make the most of it.
That's right. So, yeah, we will. We'll do our best. And we've got always lots of great information to go over with you. And we're going to be doing more podcasts. As I said, we're creating a new members area on my website. And so we've got some great podcasts coming up for the people who plug in there. What have you been up to, Tony, lately? What's been happening? You've been... found a place more comfortable, and lots happening. You're writing lots of great articles as well, and doing well on your YouTube channel, Transcending Times website, doing well. You're getting blocked off Facebook.
Yeah, well, you know you're doing the right thing when you're getting blocked off Facebook. Yeah, I keep getting these seven-day bans now. It's like these like mini bans, and it's quite interesting because when I see all these people, you know, hating on Muslims and spreading Muslim stuff, nothing seems to happen. But when I mention Jewish people or Zionists, then I'm smacked with a ban. So I don't know what that's telling us. But yeah, I've just been, you know, I'm down here in Central America, and you know, I'm out of the UK now, so I can let the creative juices flow a little bit more. So yeah, just trying to get the word out, and you know, like you do, you stumble across new stuff, and just writing about what I find and putting it out there, and yeah, just trying to play my part as we all are, to, you know, helping our younger generations experience a reality that we're not experienced, that we don't want to experience. So
that's right. The Facebook thing's funny, isn't it? I've been blocked a few times on there. And then I've had some weird blocks where they wouldn't let me, comment with people in the messenger section.
Yeah.
You know, the messenger where I usually write to you. Yeah, I got blocked from there, and I had a big block for a whole week. I've actually got this article up now. It was Pornography as a Secret Weapon. That was the article. Wow. I've gone through it before. It was written by Lasher Darkman, but it is about Jews and pornography.
Okay.
How they use it to destroy Gentile morals. And it talks about, you know, all of that. It's a big article, but, you know, it doesn't insult anyone. It just talks about Jewish role in the pornography industry in America, how they use it as a weapon against, you know, I don't know, religious people in America, and family and morals and all this sort of stuff, to break it all down. So it's a very deep-rooted, hateful thing. And it's a good article. Talks about all of this that we went over on one of our last podcasts, all this pornography industry and everything like that. But yeah, they decided to block me just for posting that that article. And you know, it's pretty clear daylight. It goes through all the big producers, all the big pornography producers in over there in America, in Silicon Valley or wherever it is, and they're all Jews. You can't escape it. They seem to like it very much. You know how Jews dominate the American porn industry, how much money they have, and what they say. It's an incredible, well-written, unbelievable article. I'm not just blaming Jews for doing the whole porno thing, but they are very dominant in that industry. You know, that's a common theme. So I don't think I put up anything wrong.
Yeah, well, that doesn't really matter, does it? You know, the truth is not something that they like, and I've been victim for a while now of these blocks. They used to be 30-day bans, but I don't know why they're shorter now. Maybe they're banning so many people that you know, just everyone would be on a 30-day ban, and they wouldn't actually have any people on the site. So Yeah, I don't know. Well, we know what's going on, and you know, we know that they're behind a lot of things in this world that isn't particularly nice or good. As we discussed in our last podcast, you know, the pornography industry is damaging on so many levels. You know, the divine feminine, it's damaging men's minds, and you know, we've spoken about this in length, and yeah, no surprise to me.
Yeah, that's right. I think I've got one gone here. Jewish academic historian Dr. Nathan Abrams, perhaps the world's most renowned authority on the Jewish role in pornography, let the cat out of the bag. He did a controversial essay published in the prestigious Jewish Quarterly in 2004. It spelled out in detail how the world's multi-billion dollar porn industry was dominated by Jews. Dr. Abrams not only admits that Jews are the world's most successful pornographers, and this is done in Israel as well, they're boasting about it, he celebrates that. Jews, he says, have a grudge against Christianity and a hatred of Christian authority rooted in centuries of humiliation, and pornography is one of the ways in which they get their revenge on their Christian persecutors. So there's all because they were expelled out of country since the year 2050 AD. So he says here they have a long history in the United States of it, and they only make up a small percentage of the population, but it's incredible. So their involvement in the X-rated industry can just be absolutely seen everywhere. And so it talks about all these big producers. Al Goldstein, the publisher of Screw Magazine. He says the only reason that Jews are in pornography because they think Christ sucks. So these people are very confused.
Yeah.
And so there's, yeah, you got all these magazines, that just dominate the industry. So really incredible stuff. You know, I know that our former Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, he's a rich playboy. He was just the former Prime Minister in Australia. He went in the 70s to America to talk to the Playboy man, Hugh Hefner. They had a meeting. I put that article up to bring Playboy into Australia in the 70s. We just didn't have that stuff like that then, yeah.
Yeah.
So they brought it in, you know, so got picked up by all the people and you know, went through the families, and then it just starts to corrupt people. But we did a whole podcast on that. It's a bottomless pit, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's unbelievable. Yeah,
they're normally involved somewhere with the octopus tentacles. They got their fingers in many pies, as we know, and yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all to hear what he's saying there with those articles.
It's unbelievable. Facebook, they got an audacity, don't they? Because you know, they push pornography on Facebook, and then they ban people for putting up articles.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I keep getting these friend requests from these. I don't know whether they're just bots or just people that are women that are half naked and. Like, it seems to be that, so, you know, all these other things that are allowed on that platform, and, you know, you just, there's certain things that you just can't say, otherwise you're slapped with a ban, which, you know, when you think about it, it just makes it even more obvious that there's something to hide, so they end up shooting themselves in the foot because, you know, they're pushing all this anti-Semitism out there, and people are hearing, you know, you get banned if you mention the Jews. So then people are saying, well, what have they done? So it all comes around to them in the end. And it's like the Holocaust as well. It's, you know, why is it that that's the only world event that you can't question? Otherwise, if you do, you go to prison in some countries. I mean, the truth doesn't fear investigation, and so it just makes you think, well, what have they got to hide? It just, before you even research things, it just puts a massive question mark, because you don't get prison sentences for questioning other world events.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe they're worried about people finding out it didn't really happen.
Yeah, you know. Maybe they are, yeah.
There's researchers looking into it. I don't see how this number were put through those chambers at that time. None of it adds up to me. You know, but it creates the whole pity thing, doesn't it, all through history, because that's what they use. I'm the saying, I'm not after, I've actually known Jews, I've had friends of them, they've been wonderful people. I'm not after them. I'm just saying that, yeah, when you highlight things Israel do, like what they're doing in the Gaza, what they're doing to the Palestinian people, how, you know, the UN, how many times the United Nations stood down to send weapons inspections into there, you know, 9/11, the Kennedy assassination, all of this stuff important to go through. You know, you can mention any country in the world, but as soon as you say anything about Israel, you get all this anti-Semitism stuff and you get assaulted, you know, and made out to be a bad person, you know?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that they're actually educated. You probably know this, but maybe some of your listeners won't. But in Israeli schools, they're actually taught from an early age that the whole world hates them. So then they grow up with this chip on their shoulder and an over defensive attitude, which is ingrained almost in their DNA. Which just stokes the fires, really. So
I've met a lot of them traveling overseas. In South America, they go there because they go to military training, I think, and they come to Australia, they go to South America, the Middle East, they travel around. There's heaps of them. They travel in these huge groups, and a lot of them do have a real snarky, nasty attitude. They think they're better than everybody else, and they kind of they're rude. I found a lot of them really rude on buses and doing trips, how they treat people and talk to people, and they stay in their groups, and they seem like that. Yeah, they're very defensive, like they think that everyone hates them or they hate everybody else, and I found them, I didn't really get on with them at all. I've only known a couple that were nice, and I still have some people I talk to on the podcast that are Jewish heritage. I guess that happens a lot in America. You know, there's a lot of American Jews, but I found those kind of students and that traveling pretty rude.
I found similar as well in my travels, but also I think, you know, there is a kind of awakening going on over there as well, because a lot of the young Israelis are now refusing military service. You know, they don't agree what's going on in Gaza, and you know, credit where it's due. I think, you know, there are some decent people over there, and, you know, but yeah, a lot of them are heavily mind controlled in a different way to what we are in the West. And it's almost like each country has their own kind of mind control going on. When you look at Scandinavia and sort of Germany up there, it's very, you know, very much ignore your emotions, and it's very, you know, like this hard nosed society. And of course, you know, it's different in other places, and that's their version. And when you piece all these different versions of mind control together, it just kind of pits us off against each other and keeps up the divide and rule and the divide and conquer, which allows the few to thrive, as we know.
Yeah, divide and conquer. That's what they do. And I mean, they seem to be, as you said earlier, always setting everyone off to be angry at someone. Everyone's angry at the Muslims, they're angry at this. We're all always being steered in different directions and kept busy and occupied by this system. So we never look within. We talked about that with you, you know. People are so preoccupied now. On society, it's amazing. And all this stuff's been, what's going on behind our backs. But it is a very deep issue, that whole thing. I'll be getting Garth on hopefully soon for members to listen to, and he's going to go over the whole history here if people are interested in the money masters and the banking and this Jewish question and Christian-Jewish Zionists and Khazars and the Rothschilds and these banking elite families that go way back, you know. Back through history, that it seems to be leading to this article anyway, Tony, that you did, that because I've done this for years and years, and I try to keep a very level head and look at all sorts of different information. I just did a podcast recently with an author in Australia, Barry Eaton. He's got a new book on In Between Lives, on reincarnation. He's written a book on that. His first book was Afterlife. Barry's not new agey as well. He used to be in radio and all that sort of stuff. So he's had personal experiences with all of this. He's done past life regression therapy and everything like that. So his books are very good. He doesn't go into any of the stuff that we're going to talk about today, Tony, at all. He seems to think that this afterlife experience is this positive thing where you go and you learn and you heal for a while and then you come back into a life of your choosing through reincarnation. So great talk with Barry, but I like to go everywhere and talk to you know, people and find out different things as we move forward here, and I learn myself. But this common theme keeps coming up about these controllers because, you know, all the podcasts I talk about, I've done it so much where you're looking back through history at these people who seem to have a stranglehold on this planet, and there seems to have been this intervention in our ancient past with human beings. You got the whole mysteries and UFOs and weird things going on in cultures and all around the world. Even the Aboriginal cultures in Australia claim that they're, you know, some tribes claim that their ancestors were from the stars. There's a lot of cave paintings and weird things there and around the world that don't make sense, that seem to imply there's been some type of intervention. And then we've got to sort of try and find out, is this a parasitic sort of dimensional thing? We hear about the devil, so we're going to talk about this today because it's so much. But I keep coming back to this theme of, well, what the hell is this? Because something seems to be here with us in time, ghosting us there. And, well, you've done a new article on transcendingtimes.org. And all this will go up and more, plus the books, and we'll talk about before we go about your books and everything. But this article is hosted Humans, Entity Attachment, and Love Bites. And I've put some of your articles up on this. Why don't we talk about this, Tony, because this goes into David Icke territory a little bit. I'm wondering what you're thinking there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of confusion going on as well. People would see this, Tony, and they just think you're an absolutely stark raving idiot, but, you know, or a lunatic, and they would say that to any of us talking about this is absolutely not true. But, you know, as I said, I myself, through all the years, I look at this stuff, I'm wondering myself, what's going on here? Who's in charge? Who are these people? Something weird is happening.
It is. They say the truth's stranger than fiction, and I think that's never more apparent as it is when you get into these subjects and realms. And, you know, I'm not the first person to talk about this. Obviously, there David Icke has spoken about a force that is working through the rich and powerful. That is interdimensional, if you like. And I have to say, through my own experience, and, you know, I do energy healing work as well, I kind of see this firsthand. And basically, this dimension is obviously very, very close to the fourth dimension. It's almost meshing with it. And in fact, they're trying to make that barrier even less now by radiating the surface of the planet and distorting the vibration here with all the radiation, with the Wi-Fi, and, you know, this distorted energy allows these interdimensionals to interact in a much more stronger way. That's why we have it everywhere. So basically, in 4D exists a lot of distorted consciousnesses. It's not just one. From my learning on this, David Icke obviously talks about reptilians, and I do think that they exist. There's plenty of evidence over the centuries of lizard type beings, and there's plenty of depictions of, you know, reptilian beings. But I would go as far to say as it's not just one form of distorted consciousness, it's many. It could be I don't know exact number, but, you know, you have demiurge, you have different forms of demonic forces, Luciferian, all kinds of different interdimensionals and dark forces that exist in that fourth dimension. And the interesting thing is that there's a big movement for people to take psychedelics now and get out of their center. And what happens is when you go out of your center, you go into 4D. And then, you know, in 4D, there's, as I've said, there's quite a lot of malevolent stuff there waiting to come in and infiltrate. And through the work that I do, I often work on people that have, you know, perhaps they've gone out and they've done DMT or they've taken ayahuasca, and suddenly after the weekend they've got suicidal thoughts, or they're just having thoughts that don't feel like their own, or severe anxiety ramped up. So there's something interplaying with our consciousness when we open up, and not even when we open up, a lot of this stuff can get in on trauma, particularly heavy trauma like abuse. Basically, whenever a person is really out of their center, maybe they were knocked unconscious in a car accident or, you know, something like that, these things can jump in and they can start pulling the strings in a person. Some attachments are worse than others. So it can vary from people just feeling like they're getting thoughts that are not their own. You know, they know they should be going right, but something's telling them to go left and it doesn't feel like it's them. And it can go really, really bad, where what I would call a level two takeover, whereby the person is getting suicidal thoughts. And, you know, I wonder if even these people we call schizophrenics, mental disorders, you know, when you look at them, it looks like, to me at least, it looks like heavy entity attachment or possession, if you want to call it that. So where I guess I differ from David Icke is he says that it's just the elite that are hosted. I would say that, you know, it's perhaps more than that, and we're interacting with stuff that's working through people on an everyday basis. And and how this ties in on a deeper level, when you're talking about the Matrix is so clever. As an opponent, I have to respect and hold my hat off to it. I hate what it's doing, but the Matrix knows us better than we know ourselves, and they have the ability to set people up with what I call love bites, whereby, you know, on the surface you meet someone who is your dream partner, and then all of a sudden the mask slips off and they end up being your worst nightmare, and there's a smear campaign going, and, you know, it's just very difficult to walk away from. So these things are interacting from, you know, effectively vessels. So these vessels could be people that are just so traumatized, they've not done any work on themselves, so they're easily infiltrated, or people with a big drug addiction or alcohol problem. So they're coming in, they're interacting with people that are perhaps leaving themselves open, or and, you know, sometimes through no fault of their own, just through life conditions. So we have that kind of hosting, and then you have AI hosting. Everyone has nanotech in their bodies, nanobots, nanobites, nanodust, which are microscopic robots, and, you know, these latch onto brain neurons, they latch onto the sexual organs. So these can actually control our thoughts, can control our sexual urges, can control fertility. It also ties in with transgenderism. So we can have people whereby they are maybe not, they don't have a hosting from an entity, but maybe they've got heavy AI infestation. We know this is going on with Morgellons, which mainstream medicine denies is actually a disease. And we see how that disease is conscious. It moves throughout the body. And this is what the other understanding or inner standing we need to have moving forward, is the fact that AI is conscious. It's not just this, you know, this robot that doesn't think, or it can think for itself now. Consciousness has permeated it, and it knows what it's doing. It knows what it's doing in the body, and, you know, it's here, and it's conscious, and it knows where it wants to go, and it knows what it wants to do. So it's so multifaceted. When I say hosting, you know, it is a multifaceted topic, and you know, it sounds alarming, and I guess on one level it is. But like everything with knowledge, we can protect and shield ourselves and do the necessary work to prevent this from keeping our vessels clean, doing the inner work, and just recognizing when, you know, there may be a hosted individual. So yeah, that's kind of the crux of it, really.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of important info in that article, Tony, that you kind of you go over as well, like Morgellons. Very strange condition that some people seem to be suffering with, and think it could be from what they're spraying in the atmosphere and everything like that. Let's talk a little bit about, we'll go into that as well, let's talk a bit about these entities, what we might be dealing with here, is, because you sort of mentioned, I've been getting contacts from people who say that they are being sort of mind-stalked, kind of remote neural monitoring thing where they say real and nobody believes them and people think they're crazy. I get some of these big papers from people and stuff like that. As you said, they've created a psychiatric industry with a lot of drugs, don't they? We've talked about that, how, these mental disorders really even exist in the first place. We were talking on many podcasts. I spoke with John Rappaport about that. About how they create these conditions, especially in children, you know, who might be doing hard at school, and then the parents take them to the doctors, and they start prescribing them the psych medication, and it goes from there, and they start getting distant and strange and acting strange or whatever, and then they go back, and then they diagnose them with clinical depression or something, and then they put them on the harder drugs. You know, all these kids, the school kids are on the Ritalin and all these, there's bloody thousands of these drugs, and they take them and put them in mental hospitals. And you're like...
Yeah.
And they say the drugs actually mimic the mental diseases that these people are suffering from. So it's really crazy what they're doing to people, And I'm wondering about that. Have you done work on this mind stalking and why they would be doing it? Could they do this in cities to everybody that they want, you think?
Yeah. So there's a few things that I just want to pick up on. So pharmaceuticals also open us up to entity attachment.
As well.
Anything that distorts your consciousness can open you up. I mean, they call it alcohol spirits, right? I mean, it's telling you spirits. Because, you know, when you get drunk, you're opening yourself up to spirits. Booze, boo, you know, it's in the language. So that's something that we also need to be aware of. So it's the pharmaceutical drugs are not just destroying people's health. They're actually opening up gateways within the person for attachments to come in and work through them. The other thing I wanted to say is just when I talk about hosting and, you know, when you interact with people, you know, that people just on the street that they're just into their beer, into football, chasing women, they tend to have quite a robotic way about them now. I know when I go home, sometimes I walk through the town centre. I literally feel like I'm walking amongst robots. So I think we can see the influence that the AI in them has, and also this also plays into the Agent Smith that these people have in them. Agent Smith, who in the film The Matrix protects the Matrix. When you mention things like 9/11 being an inside job or whatever the case may be, they immediately go on the defense. Immediately, there's a reaction in them which is almost a robotic reaction, and you know it all ties in. There's things in people that are holding this thing together. Which isn't actually probably them at some level that they're speaking from. They're getting the initial reaction from something else sometimes. I'm not saying all the time, but it appears to be the case. And sorry, I forgot the last question that you asked me then. Hello?
You there, Tony?
Yeah, I'm here. I just forgot the last question that you asked me.
Oh, you had a bit of interference in the background of you.
Yeah, probably because I'm talking about this.
You haven't got anything on in the background?
No, nothing? There's nothing on. No.
Sounds like there's waves crashing through the walls of your house.
There is rain in the background. It is raining here quite heavily. Maybe you can hear that.
Ah, that's what it is. Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. What was I talking about?
I don't know. I went off on a tangent and I forgot your initial question. We were
kind of talking about the mind stalking thing.
As well.
But yeah, because people seem to be getting upset about this. But it's common sort of knowledge and maybe old school as well. I think they've had this technology for quite a long time. But it seems like, I don't know. What do you think? We're all being in the cities. We're being connected into something through all this dust you talk about. And
well, you know, when you look at the universal law of correspondence, as above, so below, and you look what AI is creating. AI, basically, what they want to do with AI on this planet is get all the AI hooked up to this cloud, singularity.net. Don't know if you've heard of it. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is all the AI in, you know, everyone's computers and all these programs around the world is, they're all going to be hooking into the same central point. It's more centralization. And it's like the big brain. It's going to be a big brain. And so one AI will go off and learn something and it will report to the big brain. And the big brain's going to get bigger and bigger and more intelligent. So I think on one hand, we have this AI brain that's, all this AI is tapped into this central point of its own version of consciousness. But then I think we as humans have our own natural receiver, and we can all link into maybe something similar to, you know, this one big brain, and we're all going gathering information, and maybe that's how it works. It all gets put in this big brain which we call consciousness, and as that expands and grows, our understanding. So it's almost like there's a race between ourselves and AI on who can win in terms of, you know, gaining in knowledge and what have you. So yeah, it's very interesting when you look at it like that.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at a lot of articles how they're now creating the smart cities. They're doing it in Australia with all this smart technology, and I put up a military looking sort of thing from YouTube. It was very interesting where they were showing all this nano dust, how they're saying they're going to be able to just put it everywhere so it can interact with, you know, they're saying they're going to be able to have it in the roads, they're already doing it, interacting with the cars. They're saying that they can put this stuff everywhere. I guess they won't need old cameras anymore. This stuff will, it's just weird to think that we're breathing some of this in as well. What is this doing to our bodies? Because I got an old article I put up from the Carnicom Institute called The New Biology by Clifford E. Carnicom. They have an institute where they study all these filaments and things, laboratories, all this Morgellons and everything. I could put the article up. People need to read it. It's on all of this, on animal blood and even everything that we're eating, Tony. They're sort of looking at all these growths in there, in all our food and everything that seems to be part of all of this, and some of the microscopic views of these filaments and things in the food and stuff are very strange. And that's and that's putting it lightly, but they're sort of saying here, for example, the evidence now indicates and demonstrates that there is at the heart of the condition a new growth that transcends as a minimum the plant and animal boundaries. So they've got pictures here, for example, of carrots. And there's a time-lapse kind of microscopic view of carrot cells, and you can see these bacteria structures. They're very visible in this image on there, and they've enlarged it a magnification about 5,000 times, and you can see all this stuff in there. which tells me that this stuff's in the fabric of nature now, whatever it is. Is this AI? Is it alien? Where did this come from, you think? Because they're saying some of this stuff is still being studied. They don't know what it is that's coming from the atmosphere. I've seen very bizarre videos on YouTube where in America people wake up in the morning when this stuff comes down and it's all this cobwebby, sticky stuff everywhere. That seems to have a hive mind, if you will, and it's really weird. And they're saying that we can breathe this stuff in, and it can kind of create a interface, you know, where it can, because we know these tiny nano particulars can send and receive information. I'm wondering what we're being turned into. If this is kind of our future, is obviously looking AI and robotic. Are we being kind of? Cast aside, Tony.
Yeah.
Are we seeing the last real humans being born, or what's going on?
Well, I think that transhumanism isn't something in the future. I think it's already here. Based on my understanding, most of us are heavily, you know, we've got AI in us. We're, like you say, we're breathing it in. It's in the washing powder. It's in the food. It's in the, you know, it's. It's everywhere, and you know, I think I can only go back to consciousness as a solution, because, you know, I feel like they have to keep this the energy down here very dense, as I already mentioned earlier, with the radiation and the Wi-Fi, and I think it really is a race between, you know, can we level up quick enough to raise the consciousness to a point where I don't know if this just will cease to exist or fall away, because I'm hoping that, you know, with the raising vibration and the raising consciousness, it will just fall away. Because if there isn't any other solution to that, then I don't know, because you know, if we're banking on trying to get this out of our bodies, I don't know. I'm just hoping that maybe there's a way it just won't be able to exist in this reality somehow. But, you know, transhumanism is very much already here, and it's not something that's coming.
I spoke to a lady with Morgellons that almost went crazy. She had it in her house, but yeah, that was an older podcast, but she claimed she absolutely had it, and she did mention some remedies that she used to help treat. I think pine oil was one. Maybe some of these strong oils. Yeah, like certain baths and things you can do to pull some of this stuff out. But you do see some people have all these sores, and they spread on their bodies, and there seems to be like this kind of wiry kind of stuff coming out of the sores. You see that? But this lady, Olive, I think her name was, I'll have a look. She spoke with Sophia Smallstorm over there in the US. They talk a lot about this, but when she was describing this nightmare she went through in her house that her partner wasn't having, and you know, the way she was saying that her blood was almost hot, and she could feel these, like, almost metallic or bugs under her skin crawling. And she said she could feel them in her blood crawling. And she said that they seemed to have their own sort of, as I said, hive mind, and how they were acting and what they were doing. It was really crazy. Yeah, and it's not just little. There's a lot of people suffering from this, and it's not being taken seriously. It's completely ignored. And the thing is, Tony, I'm so sick of this, because I honestly always say we're living in the Truman Show. I feel like every day I walk out, I'm living in a dream, and it becomes very hard. I don't know. When you do this kind of stuff and you look into this, it separates you from your own family. It's not that people don't believe you. It's just, when you start going down here, you think differently, and it puts you on the outside, like you're looking through the window. And I walk outside some days in Sydney, because Sydney's not far from here, the city, and I can see on certain days they're spraying this bloody stuff, Tony. I'm not stupid. I know they're doing it. I know that's not contrails. I'm not an idiot, okay? I've taken photos. I've taken video. I've put it on Facebook. Other people are doing it. we're made to be crazy, and I'm walking around in the day and people are having coffee and talking and they're running, they're jogging, mm-hmm. they're going to work, they're in their cars, they're having conversations, yep. they're going to the beach. They're living their lives under this, and I'm standing there looking up at these sprays mm-hmm. right above our heads going right across the sky on a blue day. You can't miss it. And then you can see a Qantas plane or whatever coming from the Sydney airport and there's nothing yeah. there. I know contrails yeah. don't act like that. I've seen contrails yeah. when it's colder in the atmosphere with the ice crystals, they dissipate. Those are not yeah. contrails. They spread all across the sky, and by the afternoon, there's this milky film everywhere. And then I've noticed many occasions, a couple of days after these bad sprays, I get coughs. Yeah. My child gets coughs. Other people around where I'm living get coughs. I get sort of a flu-like symptoms, and I've been yeah. tracking this as well, and it's happening a lot in America. They're saying they're diagnosing these new respiratory-type illnesses in people that they don't have a name for. Mm-mm. And I'm definitely getting flu-like symptoms after, but no one will talk to me about it. Even people I've had on this show, they don't want to go into that. And I can see with my own eyes, Tony, they're spraying. It's not as bad as the UK and the US, because you can see it in the movies and on the weather reports. And they're telling you now on American weather reports that a milky, filmy, weird-looking, cobwebby sky is a beautiful blue day. And some people are saying they're putting it into movies and they're taking it out of old movies so you don't connect the dots. It's very strange. What is this shit?
Yeah. Well, the UK is terrible. I mean, God, I lived in London for a while. I remember waking up one morning to go to work, and I've never seen anything like it. It was just completely blanketed. 18 million people live in London and surroundings. And as I was driving along, I saw these kids with their mum, like, running along, walking, I just got so angry and sad, and, you know, it's very, you feel powerless, because the thing with the chemtrails is, you know, with the food and the water, you know, you can buy a distiller, you can buy organic food, you can make choices, but when it's getting sprayed over your head, it's you kind of feel powerless. But and of course what they're doing now is you know, in the kids' cartoons and like you say, the films, it's all there's no contrails in him anymore. It's all chemtrails. So they're going to grow up. The next generation is going to grow up not knowing any different.
I think that's normal, Tony, man. As I said, people are sitting right under there slurping on a cup of coffee, and it goes right over their head, and you watch it for a while, it just spreads, and then you can see it's got colors in it, and you know, it's I've spoken to some people who said I spoke to a friend who said he was in the traffic and it was heavy spraying in Sydney, and it was like a kind of a sunny day, and he said he could see the metallic particles, because even Bill Gates has come out and said the idea is that they're putting these billions of tons of metal particles in the air to reflect the amount of sunlight that's hitting the Earth's surface, because it's all about global warming, which is all bullshit. And is this like a con, Tony? Are we being conned here? Is this all part of like a mass mind control? Because there's something going on with the weather as well. You would have heard about the asthma storm in Melbourne in Australia, where they had that big asthma storm. Did you follow that?
No, I didn't actually.
Where all those people choked. Hundreds of people went to the hospital. It was news all over the world. They said it was all this types of grass or something blew up and went in there, but it hit Melbourne. And they call it this asthma storm. And I think that was a weapon used. And I think they've weaponized the weather, definitely. I don't even know what's real anymore with the weather. You know, you're getting so much stuff happening, and they're calling it global warming. So in a way, they're creating global warming.
In actual fact, it's getting cooler. You know, they're saying it's getting warmer, and it's getting cooler. And I've got a really good friend of mine who's done a lot of research around this, and apparently, we're approaching an ice age. So, I haven't looked into that myself, but he's convinced that, you know, they're telling us it's getting warmer and it's actually getting colder, and apparently we've been through this before, and this is nothing new. And he's you know, apparently all data is pointing towards, you know, a cooler environment, which is going to create this some food shortage. It's all going on, you know, weather manipulation, you know, they invert everything, don't they, and all this stuff. I think all we can do is what we're doing, and I honestly feel like consciousness will reign all, and I feel like, as bad as it might seem on the surface, and it is bad, I have to believe, and I don't think I'm being naive, but I have to believe that they're in their death throes, because, you know, on the surface it looks bad, but they're panicking. You know, their mainstream media's losing faith. No one believes them anymore. People are, well, some people anyway, are losing faith with politicians. But the conversations you can have with people, all right, you've got your Agent Smiths out there, but people are starting to question things more and more. And, you know, cannabis as a medicinal benefit is now being spoken about. And so there are wins. I think it's important that when we talk about this, it's not to get too down. It's good to be aware. But I think that we have to keep cracking on. And, you know, things like what you're doing and what I do, and, you know, going down these rabbit holes and finding solutions, ways of detoxing heavy metals, and, you know, there's, for every problem there's a solution. And I think it's important to, yes, be aware, but we need to, like, remain not get too sunken by it, you know what I mean?
That's right. Stay positive and just be aware of the system around you. I think awareness is the key, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're aware, absolutely, it just all kind of melts away, doesn't it? In front of you, you watch TV, and it just you can see it. You can, when you're aware, you can see what they're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. And
you can make better decisions for your own health, for your children's health, and, you know, so that's something. So, you know, there might not be a lot of us, and we might be slugging it out. But I do, when I look back at where we are now to where we were 7 or 8 years ago, you know, I'm having conversations with family members that I, you know, they're saying, do you know what? You were right about that. I can see that now. And I feel like this is how it's going to work. And I feel like every unit of consciousness that, you know, wakes up to this matrix, is going to unveil more and more. And I feel like that's going to have an, I mean, I don't know if you've looked at the Schumann resonance lately, it's through the roof. The Schumann resonance measures the morphogenic field, and it's never been so positive when you look at it. So I encourage your listeners to check that out. So on a consciousness level, I think things are changing. The problem is we can't see it like we can see all the shit that they're doing to us. So as truth seekers and people that are bringing awareness, we can get quite down about it. But energetically, there is shiftings going on that we're not always aware of, that I think we can be positive about.
That's right. I think a lot of people are feeling this consciousness shift, and they're not sure what's going on, and it's confusing them or scaring them a little bit, because they're not used to it. And I think a lot of people are getting nudges and feeling this energy. I think it's it might be a dimensional thing, Tony. I think there's always going, I think love wins out. I think, you know, it's always going to be positive, and I think always love will win out. I think we go through these dark times, you know, and I think maybe we have to. You know, and I think we just got to see it and face up to it and work it out and everything like that. You know, it's amazing. I would see, as you were saying, they're in their death throes, and it's amazing what they do to maintain control.
Yeah.
You were talking before we came on about the elections in Australia. You know, the wrestling match. How they put the elections on, and everyone voted for the Liberals, and then everyone voted for the Labors, and everyone voted for the Liberals, and they feel like that gives them a certain amount of democracy, I guess, and maybe it gives them comfort doing that, but it's all a puppet show, of course. It's all just designed to keep you distracted and moving along as they move the herd along, and I think the same is with Donald Trump. I think that because, you know, we only have, say, 23.5 million people in Australia. What's the population of America going on towards 400 million? You know, these are a lot of people, and I think you get a lot of sections of society who want change and are starting to get bored of this, and they want more, and they're starting to feel the shift and wake up. And I think the political system, who are in control here, and the whole system knows this, so they need to stay ahead of the game, and I think they put in these leaders that the people want, and so those leaders give the illusion that they're making the change for the people, but really the work just continues on, as is happening in America. There's still this assault and war on the American people going, and it isn't going to stop, but they think that it is, because they've got this new leader who's just a puppet. He's one of them, you know, and I think that's what they do. They're so conniving and so cunning that they're always staying ahead as people wake up. So you've got to be aware of that and try and stay ahead of them and understand what they're doing. And I think it's amazing as well, throughout history, with all the movies and science fiction movies and horror movies and stuff, they've been showing us all this. Tony, all this in their movies, with these creatures that you're mentioning here, these creatures in charge that may be happening. They've been showing us all of this, but it's crazy because, you know, that's very cunning, isn't it? Because I think, wow, they're making all these movies, they're putting lots of truth in there, and then they're putting a lot of false information as well. And then people watch so much of this, and then when you talk to them about this, they say, well, you've just seen too many movies, you know, it can't be real. But if they didn't show us the movies, maybe we would want it more, I don't know. But it's funny that they're showing us all the movies, and they're actually showing us what they're doing, and we're watching it, but then we're moving on to just thinking it's a movie. It's really deep psychological manipulation, isn't it? It's crazy, especially when you're talking about everything going into the cloud. We've got the cloud now. They're forcing you with all your devices, and everything's got to go into this cloud, you know? So I think they've created AI, and obviously it's going to be in charge now, even of the military, which is frightening.
It's centralization, isn't it? Centralization of everything. Hidden in plain sight, that's how they do it. The best place to hide something is right in front of someone's face.
It's remarkable. So
if you put the truth in a big blockbuster Hollywood film, or pedo-wood, as I like to refer to it now, then you know, people are going to say you're crazy. This is, you're just talking, like, you're talking movies. I mean, look at They Live. Like, it's telling you there's these other forces that are interacting with us. But, you know, you mention it, it's like, well, yeah, that was a film. It's not reality. But is it, or is it not?
That's right. They always have the whole UFO thing. I mean, you look at all the famous movies throughout history. I think some of these big directors have knowledge. You know, I do. I think they're being given certain knowledge. And you look at movies like Star Wars and everything. When I grew up as a kid, I thought that outside our planet, on other planets, the universe was filled with all these Star Wars creatures and things going on, and all these bizarre, you know, looking monsters and things like that, you know. But then you have a look at the whole good and dark side, you know, Darth Vader and the light and the dark side, and the you look behind that movie about what they're showing you. Like many of the movies, the information's there, it's just not in plain sight, because a lot of it's nonsense. But the whole UFO thing has been distracting people for a long, long time, but it's you know, it's just military crafts. They're testing things. I don't think these aliens are coming on spaceships, Tony, and crashing at Area 52. I just don't believe any of that. Maybe if there are greys, they're kind of AI-type messenger, or they're watchers, or they're trying to do something with the human souls or something. That kind of interests me. They're in our dreams. They can access parts of our dreams and things like that. But I think what you're talking about here, and David Icke, is very interesting. These entities, like a slipstream or something, these entities that seem to be like multidimensional or something, are there interfering with human beings. maybe at the end of the day, as we've said with you, they don't want us to find out how special we really are, and they don't want us to understand our true potential, and they're constantly just keeping us bogged down in this state of, in the quicksand of fear and hatred and all this low negative vibrational frequency, so we don't progress properly as a human society. And use technology in a proper way, maybe. Just keep us bogged down and use us for energy, I guess. That's an interesting thing. Energy food, isn't it? As fear.
Yeah, that's their food. They feed on low vibrational energy. Fear, anxiety, pain, suffering. I mean, you look at what the elite get up to with their rituals. It's all of those things. Why do we live in a constant, perpetual state of war, which are all those things? Why do we have so much scarcity, so much poverty, which are all of those things? There's a reason we have all of those things, because they need all of those things, otherwise they die. So it makes complete sense when you look at it like that. I always say, like, you imagine you went down to your local, I don't know, bar or coffee shop or something, and you asked everyone in there, do you want a war? You know, how many people realistically would say, yeah, I want a war. I want to go and kill and maim hundreds and thousands of people. Well, no one's really going to want that, but the average human doesn't want that, because we have empathy, we have care, and we have love. So who is it that does want war? It's got to be something that isn't human, because we wouldn't have it so much. It's kind of obvious, really, but it does sound a bit sci-fi Hollywood, but I know from the work that I do on people, and I've worked on people, you can see the thing moving around in their behind the eyes, it's crazy, really.
That's right. Yeah, and one of the big books that woke me up was David Icke's The Biggest Secret. He had a lot of great information in that. He was talking about these attachments. How people today watch, pornography, and they bring that into the bedroom, and they make it sort of aggressive or violent in a way, and these things can attach to them while they're actually having sex you around and everything like that, because they get through that sexual thing, I guess, because it's so powerful. That's the way they get in.
Low vibration. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they're creating it, and that's the norm now, especially with the teenagers. That's the norm now. That kind of porno sex has been completely normalized. Just watching so many shows and taking notes from American sitcoms and stuff, Tony, and we've talked about that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. I was watching this show, Two and a Half Men. These are Jewish creators, of course, on there. I was watching, this is off the mark, I know, and this may sound really disgusting or bad to people, what I thought immediately. I was watching this show, and it was all this kind of jokes about anal sex and these really bad, sick sort of sexual jokes. They got this canned laughter and everything. I guess that's what people sit down and watch. I'm just taking my notes. But they're making all they've got all this stuff in there with these women with shaved vaginas. You've seen this, where they wax them and they're really smooth. And all the men want the women to shave their vaginas now and get all these Brazilian waxes. And I was thinking, that's like a little girl's vagina.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's creating pedophiles, do you think, in men? Like they want little girls? I know I sound really bad here and I apologize to that, but I just seen this show, and that's all they were talking about. These waxed vaginas, and these girls are waxing their vaginas, and I'm like, well, that's like a little child's vagina.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I agree totally. You know, they're pushing the whole paedophilia thing, but also these entities, they like, I mean, how low vibration is anal sex? It's that to me is opens up some kind of portal when that happens,
and aggressive as well.
Yeah, and I think that's heavily propagated, because, you know, we're not supposed to be doing it in that hole. So I think that's one of the things that these entities like. They like all that, and the weirder, the more perverted, the more dark, the more demonic. You can bet your life that they'll like it, and they'll through this bloodline or these. World elite, they'll be pushing that agenda.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I told you on the last podcast that English guy, he was a dad and he was an editor in a boobie magazine, and he wanted to find out about this, and he made a documentary called Porn on the Brain. It's on YouTube for free. It's not too heavy, but it's very interesting because he fell down a rabbit hole there, and he wanted to see the effect it has on people's brains and kids. And it's interesting, the experiments they did where people were watching porn and they were showing the parts of the brain that it was opening, and they were firing up these kind of parts of the brain that are involved with addiction and things like that. Mm-hmm. But this was even more heavier. It was like really strong addiction. And he went to some English schools, like primary schools and high schools, and he was chatting with all these kids about if they watch porn, and they all did. And to cut a long story short, he said, what's the main thing, the main theme through the porn that all you kids see? And it was anal sex. And some of them said bestiality and stuff like that. And the guy was like, God, where are you getting all this porn at your age? And they all said Facebook. I don't know a lot about that, but there you go.
Aren't they teaching in schools like how to masturbate and stuff?
They're doing all that now, and it's going to happen in Australia because we voted to change our marriage laws, and it wasn't about gay people being able to marry. It was all about this sick stuff. And as I said, they've called in the Cenobites now from the Clive Barker novel, the Hellraiser novel. I call them the Cenobites. They're these drag queens. You know, these gay and lesbian, transsexual drag queens, these men, they're pedophiles, and they dress up as these women with high heels. They're letting them in the schools, and they're spreading their legs in front of the kids. They're actually in the UK, they're bringing in porn stars to teach sexual education. We actually had a Greens leader in Australia. He's one of the leaders, one of the guys in the Greens party, helping and contributing and thanking teachers who are showing kids how to send sext messages and stuff like that. We've got a whole thing happening in Australia called Safe Schools. They disguise it under the umbrella of bullying, but all the materials about, you know, gay men and gay anal sex and all of this sort of stuff, sledgehammered over our children's heads, and they're confusing them sexually right now in our schools, and it's only going to get worse. I think unless people stand up and really fight back, they're getting our kids, Tony, and they're grooming them. They're grooming grounds for pedophiles, our schools now.
I don't understand what's going on with the parents here. I mean, I think maybe that's the reason I don't have children, because I'd probably be in prison years ago. I just couldn't put up with that.
I'm homeschooling. I won't allow my child in those schools. Not a hope.
Yeah. But it amazes me, like, you know, I speak to friends of mine that have got kids, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, what can you do? And it's like, what do you mean, what can you do? Like, I mean, just the very fact that they're spraying down aluminum and barium on my kid's head would drive me insane. You know, I don't know how you cope with it, Adam, really. I mean, I hold my hat off to you, because I'd end up going fucking crazy.
I feel like I'll get put in prison or something. I feel like as a dad, I've got to hold the family together and teach her and show her and try and take certain things, supplements to cleanse and things like that, homeschool, try and shelter my little one as best I can. She's growing up with no TV. No access to any phones. I mean, I know people with three-year-olds that play with iPhones and watch movies and watch TV and everything like that. Yeah. And I just shake my head. I can't believe it.
But that's something else. I was watching a documentary the other day about some of the games that kids are playing online and on these apps. And some of the games are sponsored by, like, Coca-Cola, and they use, like, these junk food burgers or pizzas or cans of pop as the prize when they win in the game. So it becomes like is getting them addicted on this junk food before they've even, so then they're asking their parents to buy them this food and all this subconscious programming that goes into the games and the apps, and no stone left unturned that they don't, you know, it's just crazy.
No, I mean, definitely what I've looked at is this pedophile system is digitally stalking children online as well. It's stalking them through Facebook and the apps. It's stalking them through YouTube, and it seems to know. So parents plop their kids down. That's been exposed many times. People put their kids in front of YouTube, and they watch these terrible cartoons and things, and they leave them there, and they go and do the housework or whatever. And in between these cartoons, there's all these ads that pop up. You have to watch them. They're so strange and really violent. Weird things that pop up like that, and I've noticed that in all the kids' cartoons now. They're so rapid fire and colorful and fast, and kids are getting shorter and shorter attention spans. So, you know, you take them out for the day and they're bored. You take them to the zoo, they're bored. You take them down here, you could have a bloody spaceship land in front of them with aliens come out and take them to another planet, and they're like, yeah, what's next? And I feel like with the technology, it's just, it's shrinking their attention spans. It's like a rubber band. It just snaps back so fast. And they're watching these shows, and I can't even watch it for a second. It hurts my eyes, and I'm like, my God, how could you put your kids in front of that? But, yeah, there's this system in there stalking children inside. So you cannot leave your children online. I don't care what it is. I don't care what game or how safe people are told it is. You can't leave your kids in front of a laptop or a tablet alone, because there's something in there that's stalking them, and I can feel it. There's something in Facebook that I get a bad feeling off, Tony. I don't like it. I just go in there to share information and link up with people and get info out, but I get a really creepy feeling. All these trolls and weird things going on in there. It's a very strange system, behind the system, behind the system, behind the mask. You know, it's very strange.
Absolutely. Watch your kids. Mind reading technology and stuff, it's, you know, you think of something and then it appears on your news feed on Facebook.
All the time. All the time. I've actually been chatting in Facebook on Messenger, Tony, about a couple of things, and then a friend's contacted me and said, wow, I just got an advertisement for it, and I've sent text messages via the phone, and then they've got the same thing on their Facebook Messenger. I've been thinking about things and it's popped up. If you're looking at TV and things like that, you might think about something you want to watch or see, and there it is. It's like Minority Report with Tom Cruise, all the pre-crime and all of that. They were showing that Spielberg, you know, that's not really a great movie, but some of the ideas in that, you're like, wow, it's machine learning. It learns about you, you know? And these kids have got all these video games with cameras on there. They've got these things from Google Home in their house where it's spying and eavesdropping on them. And so it's just this machine learning, and it just knows everything about all the families. And then it's delivering it on the spot, you know? But people like that because it's so quick, Tony. They don't have to think too much. They're getting everything they want. And I find that with this kind of thing going on, and technology delivering everything so fast, time's speeding up because we've got to keep up, our minds have got to keep up with the technology, and also people are becoming very impatient. It's like they don't get something and they just snap because they want it now.
It's crazy. It's a big battle we've got on our hands, but, you know, I think, like I said, I think on the surface, I think it looks worse than what's happening on a consciousness level. I think a lot of these entities and the things pulling the strings behind the scene, you know, they're very, very scared. They're very, very scared of this awakening. They're desperate. So, you know, you can flip it, and you know, we are, going back to what you said earlier, we are much more powerful than them. That's why they need us so much, because we're massive, powerful battery generators for them. And I think that's important to have in mind when we approach all these subjects. We are battle hardy, and we can do this. And I think as much as it's going all this is going on, I think they're running scared.
Well said, Tony, and I think we'll plug it up for today, and just mention your website and that, and if you will, on the next chat, we'll go through with you when you're available. I'd like to talk about the false white light, because I think that's, and the new age is the new cage book that you wrote. I think that's a really important one This is something I keep coming back to as well. Beware of the false light. You've done a YouTube video, I know, but we might on the next show talk about that and maybe talk about some, create some answers, positive answers for people in regards to this. We'll talk about the death experience, your knowledge on this, the afterlife experience, what lies beyond, you know, when people pass over, what's there? I think everyone would be interested in that. These kind of podcasts do very well. I think people view the death experience or getting old and dying they're scared of it. And I think something we need to bring out in the open. But the white light thing I'm very interested in, and I want to get it out to the listeners. It's too important. But we could also look at some answers too and some positive work that you're doing with the chakra and stuff like that. I want to help you promote that work that you do. I think, where do you do that work? Do you do it online, Tony, with people?
Yeah,
they just ring you or Skype you or whatever? Yeah.
Well, if you go to my website, transcendingtimes.org, there's a section there, Healing with Tony. And there's a number of different subjects, sessions there. One is around the chakra removal, which is an implant, other implants, interdimensional hybrid implants. There's bits and pieces there. So if people want to go to my website, transcendingtimes.org, also my books are there as well. I think I've written 5 books or something. So they're all online. Everything's on my website. So people can just check out the stuff on there. And I'm blogging regularly and putting out YouTube videos. So my YouTube channel is just Tony Sayers. And I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I think that's about it, actually.
Do you offer personal cleansing classes for people that they pay for?
So it's like a one-on-one session over Skype.
I'm wondering if, because I'm creating a members area and these podcasts will go in, we can put in, maybe work out something where people can, people that go into my site to listen to the podcast and enjoy what we do and what you do can get a special deal or something like that.
We can
work out, they can contact you, and if they don't have a lot of money, they can see if you can work something out with them and go in there and get some help.
Absolutely. Happy
we can offer
to,
that to subscribers as well. Contact you personally and see if they can do that. And I might even do that myself, actually, Tony, because I got some things I need cleansed.
We'll sort
cleanse,
something out.
I mean, help.
It's fear. They're not your normal healing sessions. In the fact that, you know, I'm sending over white light. It's removal of shit that shouldn't be on us, basically.
Exactly. I've got it. Yeah.
Implants. So they're very interesting. I'm happy to collaborate and do something. And we can work something out. So not a problem.
Great, Tony. It'll be great to speak to you again soon. I love talking to people. I've done so many podcasts over the years with so many guests. I don't think... Are you talking to anyone in Australia about this?
I mean, I have clients over there.
Are you doing shows, podcasts and stuff?
I think you're the only one in Australia at the moment,
Yeah, so I'm saying I think I'm doing really unique podcasts and talking with people... like yourself, and over the years I've found people that I really like to communicate with, and you're not so rigid. You love to talk about your books, your stuff, but you go everywhere as well. You're very open-minded to just sort of talk about this system around us as we try to break it down and understand it and sort of be better than it and step up to another level, you know, and it's good. Some people just want to talk about their books and their material and then that's it, and that's fine. I love that too, but I love kind of going outside the box as well and perhaps going into different areas where you get some interesting conversations. So thanks so much for that. It's always great to speak with you, and we'll keep plugging in and doing these as we move forward and talk about your work and what you're doing and promoting your work and books and everything like that.
Okay, great, Adam. Thanks so much, and thank you for what you do. And you know, I know you're fighting for your little girl. And you know, if more parents did that, then we wouldn't have the world that we live in today. So I know you're plugging away, and I appreciate the work that you do.
Oh yeah, I'm like a crazed wolf around her, man. I got my eyes on the system. I'm watching. Yeah. Who's watching the watches, Tony? I'm watching. And I agree with you, man. I know. I don't know what's happened to the dads and the mums out there. They just don't seem to even. It's not that they don't care about their kids. It's just, oh well. And it's like man. You know, you're not concerned if I come up to you, even if I'm a liar. If I come up to you and say, what's that they're spraying in the sky? Or they put this in that movie. Or they've got an incremental poison called fluoride in the water, for starters. Yeah. Okay, you're a liar. I don't believe you. You're a conspiracy nut, but I'm going to look into it. They don't even want to look into it.
Why?
If you come up and tell me something on the street, hey, mate, look at that in the air. Do you know what's in that? Okay, man. Well, I'm going to go home. I'm just going to have a look and make up my own mind, but I'm going to look. Thank you. They don't even want to look.
Yeah.
They don't even want to research. It's just not the shrug of the shoulders. See, and I feel like that spirit, that fighting spirit in humans is being taken away, Tony. That intuition, as we talked about with you, the gut belly feeling, it's being taken away in people. And it's just, she'll be right. You know, and it's like, no, you need to be aware of this stuff and do something about it.
Yeah.
It's your child. So you're right. I agree, man. I agree. But it's bloody hard as a dad, as a parent. You bring a little human into the world. And I've protected her so much from the medical assault and system and everything. I've kept her under my wing and away from all of this as I can. I can't protect her from what you breathe in out there. I can't. But I can take things to cleanse and stuff. I'll do my best, man. I'm doing my best.
That's all you can do. As long as you can wake up in the morning, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm trying my best, then that's really all that you can do. Because, you know, we can't take on system individually, but we can do it together. And we will come out the other side. And, you know, the work that you're putting in and the work that I'm putting in, one day it will have helped on some level, I'm sure.
That's right, Tony, and great. And we'll continue all this as well, for sure. So take care over there. You're in Costa Rica. So, far away. So take care of yourself there and keep putting out your amazing work. Your YouTube channel is doing great. I really want to see it explode. It's such a great channel. Yeah. And you've added in some really nice little kind of video graphics now.
Yeah,
that's good.
I've got my game on it.
Yeah. I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on doing all video on that. I want to learn myself, so to make
my girlfriend. I've got my girlfriend to thank for that. She's been on at me to up the quality of my videos and stuff. So
great work.
She's done good with that.
Yeah, looks great. Looks good. So keep going, man. We need you. Keep that work coming out. It's fantastic. There's not many people like you doing this kind of cutting stuff. It's very, very interesting. I connect with people that get me, that get me in the heart center, and you're one of those. So keep it up, buddy. Cheers, I love your work. And we'll chat again soon.
All right, Adam. You take care.
Thanks, mate.
Bye now. Bye.